Okay, welcome everyone to the second talk of the session. We have Ki-Jun Lee talking about building an ecosystem for indoor spatial information.
Okay, thank you. All right, so this is quite a long story, but I'm not quite sure whether I can make it within 20 minutes. But anyway, I will try that. All right, so we are. This is a presentation about a project called INUS. INUS means indoor, I forgot it. I name it, but I forgot it. Anyway, so we launched that project 2 years ago with several other teams, and starting from the analysis, investigation of why indoor spatial services or technology is not yet booming up. So I have been working for indoor space more than 10 years ago, like 2007. At the time, I believed that indoor spatial services technology will be booming up very quickly within 2 years. But after 10 years, almost nothing happened. So why? What is the reason? So we started the project by investigating the reason why there is a bottleneck of indoor spatial technology. So one of the reasons is there is no stable indoor positioning system. So GPS is out there but not working in indoor space. And the second reason is the cost for building indoor map is quite expensive. As they explained, the first presentation gave a very nice work about making the indoor map. But anyway, the cost is very expensive compared with outdoor space. And the next one is for outdoor space, we have a very nice the standard and hold the process. I have to stay here. All right, okay, thank you. Anyway, so for outdoor space, there are some ecosystem around standard, but for indoor space, from the construction of data to the managing and sharing and utilization application, there is no standard process for data production and sharing. And the final reason is there is no killer app. So the only thing that we are talking about indoor space is indoor navigation. But this is a very, very tiny portion of indoor spatial technology. So we have to find some solution for each problem except the first one, because indoor positioning is, I'm working for the database, I'm the database guy, but indoor positioning is nothing to do with the database. So I decide to forget about indoor positioning. I try to use the existing indoor positioning method, but try to solve the four solutions. Okay, so based on this observation, we decide to set up an ecosystem from building an indoor map and managing it, sharing it, and developing some application for indoor space, more than a simple indoor navigation. So we started the project 2 years ago, and name it as INUS Indoor Outdoor Spatial Data Services, and occasionally, so INUS means it is also a name of a butterfly only in Australia. So we decide the logo like that way. So I paid a lot for designing this logo. Anyway, so this is the goal and the scope of the project, starting from the indoor map construction. So there are many teams working for that. So this is group one. And group two is, where is the pointer? Okay, so group two is after we have the indoor map, then we manage and process it for complement the data. And then after that, once we have the full data set of indoor space, then we can make a useful application. So these are the main goal and scope of the project. And this is group one, group two, and group three. And we decide to set up an ecosystem of indoor space, indoor map, in indoor GML, which is OGC standard. Actually, I'm working as a chair of indoor GML in OGC. Okay, so this explains the whole process. This explains the whole process of our project. Group one, we collect the data from the point cloud like a stationary LiDAR or a backpack LiDAR or even a Tango, like the very personalized device. This is one pillar. And the second approach is from the simple the floor plan, of image floor plan. But this is quite useful. So when I talked with some guys in Hong Kong or Singapore, because they have a lot of old buildings where they don't have any CAD data. So the only data that they have is floor plan. So we have to sometimes start from the floor plan. So we vectorize using deep learning, then and extrusion to 3D, then we get a 3D solid data. Then we convert it to semantic model, because in DoGML it is not only geometry model, it is but also semantic model. So we include a lot of semantic information to this data, and then finally we get the IndoGML. Then after that, once we have IndoGML data, we may apply it to several applications. But because this is the project funded by government, so we try to find some solution for public. The first one is, of course, the indoor safety, like indoor emergency response. And the second one is a voice indoor map for visually impaired person. And we try to make a service like OpenStreetMap for indoor version. We call it indoor Open Indoor Map. So these are three main applications that we are developing as group three. All right, this explains the indoor map production, but I will skip it. I will explain it. Anyway, so these are the left side is the methodology, and the right one is the approach that we are working for this project. So first one is we try to make indoor map data from the point cloud collected by SLAM, and like the OpenStreetMap or the floor plan map, we can get indoor data. All right, so I would like to explain it from the, so this is not, okay. So this is team one of group one. That means it's once we have the input of a floor plan image map, then we try to build the geometry from that one. It's a 2D, then we extrude to 3D, and if possible, we need some kind of a manual work. So this is something, and I would like to show that we develop, where is my mouse? All right, okay. I'm sorry that it is a Korean version of JOSEM. JOSEM is an OpenStreetMap editor, Java-based OpenStreetMap data. Anyway, we load the image map like that. Then for the time being, we don't have any very nice tool to remove some information which is not really needed by our system. But so anyway, we remove the some noise data. Then we try to build by using deep learning. And then we can make it and we match with the indoor open stream map. All right. Then we do some other additional edit. And finally, we make. All right. Okay, anyway, so by doing so, we can make IndoGML data. And the second approach is point cloud, as the previous presentation. So we collect the data from point cloud. But what we are doing, what we do, what we have done is we classify the data into two categories. First one is architectural component. That means the wall and ceiling and floor. And the other class is the non-architectural component like chairs and so on. So we can do that by using several types of method. And then we converted it to IndoGML for non-navigable space or navigable space. These are the IndoGML terminology. So these are the process. So I will show the whole process. Okay. So from the SLAM robot. So these are the SLAM that we developed by one team of our research initiative. And then we get the point cloud data. So it is quite a complicated point cloud data. Then we remove the noise data. We have a lot of noise because of the transparent glass or reflective floor and so on. So it is inevitable. So we collect the data and we apply almost the same methodology, but except PointNet. We conclude that PointNet is not that good. Sorry. So we apply RANSEC, another type of the deep learning. So finally, we get the geometry and with some image data, image texture data. Then even we have the geometry, but we found that there are some missing things. So we have to edit it in manual way. So this is a process of manual way. And sometimes when the door is locked, then we cannot enter into the room. So we have to draw by. Okay, where is the, all right, so I can, sorry. So, okay, so I'm sorry that there is some problem. All right, so then by this one, we can show the final result. Okay, I will skip it because it takes time. We don't have enough. Oh, where is my slide? All right, we get it. Okay, then the group two, we process the data that we get from the group one. And in addition to the data from group one, we convert the data from a BIM model, IFC data, and CAD data, because IFC contains a lot of semantic information. So we convert it to IndoGML. And then we define the data model, and we edit, we include some of the meaningful data like topology data or POI or sensor data. Then finally, we can get a very nice IndoGML data. And then after that, we utilize the data for the application. One is OpenIndoMap. So OpenIndoMap is an application developed on, it's a kind of geoportal developed on the top of Cesium. So we convert it to the data to F4D, but not GLTF of native Cesium format, because GLTF is very nice for outdoor, but it takes a lot of time for visualizing for indoor space. Anyway, so we develop some other format. So we display it using IndoMap, and then we can also, for the application, we sometimes need a route computation, not only for the empty space, but also when we have something like an obstacle here, we have to consider this one, particularly for fire brigade, they have to consider the obstacle. So we try to find the optimal route using considering this obstacle as well. And The next application is fire response, but I'd like to show, I'm sorry. How many minutes I have? Okay. So this is a very interesting application of the IndoGML that we have. We have that IndoGML data. Then using a tool called FDS, Fire Dynamic Simulation, which is developed by NIST, we can simulate the expansion of fire and smoke. And the red dot, it means the persons. So persons try to escape in case of fire. So there are many models of the movement of the crowd. So initially, before the case of fire, we count the number of persons of each room. But after fire, because of the block of the internet and so on, we don't know exactly. So we have to make some simulation to estimate the number of persons of each time. So by doing so, the firefighter can estimate how many persons are there for each room. So this is very important information for firefighter. But unfortunately, these are some casualty. And the next one is, as I said, this is the indoor voice map for visually impaired person. This is a smartphone-based indoor voice map. If you have a smartphone like Android, the Android or iOS, they provide called the voice assistant user interface. So we call VoiceOver for iOS and TalkBack for Android. But normally, the visually impaired person, they prefer iOS, TalkBack. Anyway, based on the interface of TalkBack, we provide instruction, turn-by-turn instruction, so based on indoor map. So this is the second the last application that I show for this talk. Okay, so iNUS project is a project for 5 years, ending at the 2021. So we aim to set up an ecosystem around IndoGML. And yep. So if you are interested in the working together with me, please contact with me. So we have a lot of flexibility of our project. So okay. So and you may find a lot of, so these solutions are mostly open source software. So you can find the software on the GitHub of our lab, which is here, right? Okay, that's all. Thank you. I kept the time limit.
Yeah, you're right under.
All right, okay.
Any questions?
Just a question for the indoor mobile navigation.
Up? Indoor mobile navigation?
Yes, applications.
For the blind people?
Yes.
All right.
Environment. So how can you?
Okay. Yeah, that is a very important question. So,
can you just repeat the question?
Sorry?
Can you repeat the question?
So his question is how we can get the position in indoor space. So for outdoor space, we have a GPS. This is a dominant technology for almost everywhere. But indoor space, it is not the case. As you know, GPS is not working in indoor space. So there are many methods. The first one is geomagnetic sensor. Geomagnetic sensor is a very nice tool because we only rely on the geomagnetic the signals, so we don't need any infrastructure. And the second one is Wi-Fi signal. We have a lot of APs, so this is the second option. Third one is UWB, ultra-wideband. Ultra-wideband gives a very precise location, but it is quite expensive so far. And the next one is the light-based solution. And so there are numerous ways. And the final one is called PDR, pedestrian dead reckoning. That means if we know the location of, suppose that I turn left, then suppose that I know that location, that by counting the number of steps, I can estimate my location. So this is the, but I would like to say that it is hybrid. No one single method work for every case. And the second, it should be case by case. We suppose that, for example, this place, I believe that geomagnetic sensor work very well. But if you go underground, like the subway, there are a power line of high voltage, it disturbs the geomagnetic field. So it doesn't work. So it depends. So so if you have the area that you want to apply the indoor positioning, you have to go there and you have to test every method to see what is the best solution. And yeah, I'd like to mention one another, which is a beacon. So for example, iBeacon from Apple or Eddystone, these are two types of beacon which are working very well. Okay. Any other question?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.